Lord God, we pray that as you move among us today, you would open our hearts, our eyes, our ears, our minds, our lives to your word, for we ask it in Christ's name.
Amen.
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 I was very sad to discover that none of you won the lottery. When it was up over $1 billion, we were hoping one of you would win a tithe.
Yeah, you would have
five. Yeah. Some people have all the luck. You may have noticed that. Seems that way sometimes anyway, and I'll give you an example. In the Gospel of Luke, chapters 11 through 13, Luke does a masterful job of weaving together very diverse teachings of Jesus. They're so diverse that at times they said, well, gee, that sounds almost contradictory, but it's not. He does a great job of weaving the teachings of Jesus talking about discipleship with the certainty of judgment that's coming. It sounds like good news mixed with bad, but of course it's not. It's all good news. And in these chapters, Luke also tells us that Jesus relates the good news of the kingdom of God and at the same time teaches us about the divisive effect that the kingdom has on the world. These three chapters of Luke have this tremendous ebb and flow and a rising and a falling of stories, some that are easy to preach and some that are not. By the luck of the draw, during these past few weeks as we've gone through these chapters, Father Chris and I have been very, very fortunate in that we got to preach on the peaks. We got what would be considered easy things to preach on, but poor Father Bill has received the more difficult passages. An example I would give you is the gospel lesson this morning begins with one of the sweetest promises ever made by the Father that Jesus ever spoke. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. There's even a song. Have no fear, little flock. You all know that one. Have no fear, little flock. The Father has promised to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Next Sunday, Father Bill's gospel lesson will begin with, I have come to bring fire on the earth. There is no song. There's no old song for that. And it also has in that passage is Jesus saying, do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? No. He said, oh my gosh. But I believe, and if Father Bill does not go ahead and look at the lessons before these are assigned, obviously, I believe this is done by God, that the more difficult passages would fall to the more experienced and better preacher.
One who has dependence.
So make sure that you're here next week. Make sure, and remember, seating is limited. Come early. But for now, let's go back to that admonition to not be afraid. Sean, I really was you a couple of weeks ago, reminded us of that. You remember what you said? We should put together a calendar. Because in scripture, fear not is spoken 364 times. There would be every day of the year you'd fill it up. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Some form of that. Be not afraid. In fact, it appears twice in this chapter. The other one, as I was saying, there's this sort of ebb and flow in these chapters. The other one says, do not fear the one who can destroy your body, but fear the one who can cast you into the hell. Well, that's cheerful. I like this fear not better. But they're all part of the gospel. We're told not to fear. Why? Because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. That's powerful. It announces the grace, love, and mercy of our Father. We do not earn the kingdom. It's given. You don't have to appease an angry God in order to win the kingdom. It's given. And why is our Father so generous? Because it pleases him to be so. He loves us that much. He earnestly desires to have a loving relationship with each one, even those of you on the left. God earnestly desires that. There could be no greater news. This is the good news. It's the great news. Now, I read that passage a few moments ago. That is our gospel reading for today. Sometimes it seems like these things are disjointed, because this goes from the gift of the kingdom to sell all your possessions, give them to the poor, and then it keeps going, build up treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then it moves into a parable about being ready. Always be ready. You don't know when the master's coming. That might seem a little disjointed and like there's nothing really in common with these. And if that were true, I would have preached on the Hebrews passage, because that would have been more fun, just to talk about faith, one subject. But I wanted you to think of these teachings as they're spread out here as movements in a piece of classical music. Now, I'm sure you're all familiar with Piano Sonata number 14 and C sharp minor Opus 27, number 2 of Beethoven. Actually, you all are very familiar with it. It's in three movements. The first movement is what you would recognize. It's beautiful. It's sweet. It's that wonderful melody we call Moonlight Sonata. Oh, it's so relaxing to listen to it. Any of you remember Victor Borge? I loved that man. He was a great comedian, a great musician, and he would always play this piece, and he would get laughs by pretending to fall asleep while he was playing it. And you would see him fighting the sleep, and eventually he would slump into the piano. My wife reminded me that it was even funnier when he appeared on The Muppets as a guest host, is that while he was playing at the bust of Beethoven on the piano, fell asleep. It's just beautiful. It's relaxing. But then when it moves into that second movement, it sounds like the background music for a horse race. No one ever slept through the second movement. Your assignment is to go home and listen to this on you. At least, if you just type in Moonlight Sonata second movement, you'll get it. Or the third movement. No one slept through it either. But they are all joined together musically. They have a common theme. Think of these teachings of Jesus as having a common theme, and that common theme is the kingdom of God. Like Moonlight Sonata, our lesson today comes in three movements. The first, have no fear, little flock. The kingdom is freely given. The second movement and the third movement grow out of that. The second movement, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Lay up treasure in heaven. As citizens of the kingdom, we're called to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ, and the same love, grace, and mercy that is extended to us should be extended by us to others, especially the poor. Because you and I are in the kingdom of God, we live out that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that should be reflected in what we do and how we treat others. We have the opportunity to see others through the eyes of God. We have the opportunity to hear what they're saying through the ears of our Father. And greater than that, we have the opportunity to love them with his heart. Now, I may not like the way that guy out there looks. I might not even like the way he smells, but I'm called to love him. I'm called to extend to him the same love, grace, and mercy that I have received. Because that guy or that gal is extremely valuable to my Father. So valuable, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for them. That's how much he loves them. That's how much I'm called to love them. I may not like that person's culture. I may not like his lifestyle or her lifestyle. And I may think that their political leanings are ludicrous and that they're insane. But I am called to love them anyway. I'm called to invite them in to this kingdom. The same kingdom that was freely given to me is freely available for them if they will come. Those are all people for whom Christ died. And that's the second movement. Then the teachings of Jesus move into the third movement. And in this movement, he teaches us to live in the kingdom expectantly. For the master might return at any time from this wedding banquet he's gone to. Jesus tells us to be dressed and ready for service and to keep the lamps burning. When he comes, we want him to find us doing what we're supposed to be doing. For a few years when I first graduated from college, I worked for a medical equipment company. And from time to time, the owner of the company would stop in. And when he did, the ladies who worked in the front would always get on the PA and say, "Jack's here. Everybody act like you're doing something." And we would pick up a machine or something, start fiddling with it. When the Son of Man returns, I think it's a pretty good bet that we're not going to get a PA announcement. And even if we did, I'm not sure it would be all that helpful. I think if we pretended like we were doing ministry, he would probably see through that. But if we are living in the kingdom, in that relationship with Jesus Christ, if we are about his ministry and the lamps of our lives are lit, it's not going to be an issue. It won't be an issue at all. It'll be flowing from our lives naturally. It's the way ministry is supposed to be. Just flowing from us. If you have a Bible handy. Yeah, it should be there in front of you. Turn to Matthew 25. Story that's so familiar. Tripp mentioned it earlier. Let's go to verse 31. But we'll not read this entire story. You're very familiar with it. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And for those of you at home, Tripp is sitting on the left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, and this is what I want you to hear, the conversation. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And I want you to notice what that, the righteous, those who had inherited the kingdom, did not know that they had done this ministry. It had come from them naturally. They ministered in the name of Christ. They did his, continued his ministry, and they didn't even know that they were caring for him. When Jesus says to us, you all, you must be ready because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. And we hear this and we think of the end times, and rightly so. And we don't know when the end times are going to come, despite the fact that many people are willing to tell you when it's coming and that it's near and it's just around the corner, or, and some people even give you a date. And then I have to do it again. No one knows. But we don't know when that time's coming. We do need to be prepared for it. But the way you're prepared for it is being prepared to meet Jesus Christ every day. The righteous sheep on the right, they had encountered Jesus in their daily lives. This isn't about them encountering him at the end time. Yes, they're standing there at judgment, but it's about what happened. They had encountered Jesus in their daily lives and they had ministered. We too, if we open our eyes, and our ears, and our hearts and our minds, we will encounter Jesus daily in our lives. And we will have the same opportunity they had to minister. But what I would admonish you to do and for me to do is listen to the music of the kingdom and know the movements when you hear them. Let each movement speak to your heart. Rejoice and have no fear because you have inherited the kingdom. We're here. And because you are here, love and serve others. And in doing so, watch for Christ, because he's there in the midst of it.